Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatyadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaitigadadha Shivas Hare Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchikapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai Gopremanande Haribol Haribol Haribol. Okay, so here we are, devotees, in the fifth chapter of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Narada Muni is glorifying the Pandavas, how they got so much mercy from Lord Krishna, more than anyone else. And we're in a section in which he is giving different examples of this, how Krishna helped the Pandavas in different ways and things like this, which show how they got special mercy from the Lord. So we got up to verse 39 the other day, yesterday, and 39, yeah. And today we'll start with verse 40. Krishna relished Sri Vidura's porridge and organized the celebration of Sri Bhishma's passing away. Please, therefore, judge your own standing from how in many controversies both Vidura and Bhishma took your side. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Krishna appeared partial. He definitely was partial to Vidura and Bhishma. He relished Vidura's porridge. I don't know about that story. Unless it's some reference to the Lord, what I was told at least, the Lord accepting banana skins from Vidura and his wife when the Lord visited Hastinapur. But porridge, I don't know about that. But I think everybody knows that porridge is not very exciting. You know, some people, they really like porridge. But I think they're mainly people who have not experienced really first-class prasadam. Yes, because first-class prasadam, that's something else altogether compared to porridge. Anyway, that's the example given here, and I'm not able to sort of elaborate on it. But the Lord showed favor to Bhishma. Well, that we can say something about. The Lord organized the celebration of Sri Bhishma's passing away. That's in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Where is that? It's there. Is it the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th? Let me just... Actually, no, I won't go into it, but you can find it there. the passing away of Bhishma. And Lord Krishna, this is immediately after the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Lord Krishna went to where Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows. Lord Krishna took the trouble to go out of his way to where he was lying on the bed of arrows and preach. Bhishma and Krishna asked questions of Bhishma and about managing a kingdom, and Bhishma gave instructions. So like this, Lord Krishna gave special attention to Bhishma even at the time of Bhishma's passing away. So the question is raised here then. The question is, why indeed were Vidura and Bhishma so dear to Krishna? So let's just read what's stated here. Krishna was pleased with them not only because of their own devotional service, which was not that exceptional, but mainly because they served the Pandavas. Now that's interesting, isn't it? That they were very dear to the Lord and he gave them mercy because they helped the Pandavas, protecting them from Duryodhana and other enemies. Vidura and Bhishma earned high esteem in the opinion of the Lord by giving shelter and affection to the sons of Prita when they were helpless. So, yeah, that's an interesting sort of twist, isn't it? Krishna appreciated Vidura and Bhishma in different ways and expressed that at different times. Although, as stated here at least, they may not have been very special devotees, but they helped the Pandavas. They helped the Pandavas. And therefore Krishna gave them mercy. Very interesting. Text 41. Truly, the words spoken by the ordinary women of your city amaze me. Those words focused on Krishna and imbued with transcendental knowledge and devotion are praised in songs by accomplished poets. Right, so, well, it's explained in the purport here, and it's just a very well-known thing, that rulers, kings, particularly very pious kings, devotee kings, are glorified by different sages and saintly people who write poetry about them, who write books about them, and so on like that. Yes. And certainly, Krishna was glorified by such people. Krishna was glorified by different sages, poets, of course, what to speak of in the Vedic literatures. And those writings, well, yeah, okay. So that's a fact. But now in this case, the point is, in this case, that the ladies when Krishna entered, when Krishna entered Hastinapur, the ladies standing on the roofs and in different places, little out of the way, watching Krishna come in, those ladies glorified Krishna in just such amazing and beautiful ways. Just like when sages glorify the Lord in scripture and in different writings. So an example is given, actually two examples are given of such statements made by ladies on the roofs of the houses of Hastinapur, glorifying Krishna, and just in very exceptional ways, even though they may not be like real practicing Vaishnavas, but they speak like real practicing Vaishnavas, scholars and people like that. When they said, this is 1st Canto chapter 10 verse 21, here he is, the original personality of Godhead, as we definitely remember him. He alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature, and in him only, because he is the Supreme Lord, all living entities merge, as if sleeping at night, their energy suspended. So that's the 1st Canto chapter 10 verse 21. And it's these ladies up on the roofs of the houses, watching Krishna enter. But what they're saying is profound. It's not just like some girl talk, the ladies talking together over a cup of tea or something of that sort. But it's very profound. It's very profound understandings of the Lord, which would be quite appropriate in a scripture or some other very scholarly book describing the Lord. And indeed, it's included in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. And here's another one while we're at it. It's really nice. 1st Canto chapter 10 verse 26. Oh, how supremely glorious is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the beloved husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and wandered in his childhood. And again, it's just like that. It's just so appropriate for scripture, so profound, just like some expert writer, scholar, has explained some deep understandings of the Supreme Lord. But it's just some ordinary ladies up on the roofs of their houses watching when Krishna entered Hastinapur. Verse 42. When Prahlad, the son of Kayadu, obtained the Supreme Lord's grace, he did so along with a grandson. The best of monkeys was favored alone. But you, rare souls, have received the complete love and mercy of the great Lord Hari, with all your family members and subordinates. So here, Narada Muni's point is that when these other personalities got some mercy from the Lord, then they, well, in the case of Prahlad, he got some mercy along with a grandson. The two of them got mercy. But in the case of Hanuman, he just got mercy alone. No relatives, friends, associates, or whoever. But now in the case of the Pandavas, when they got mercy from the Lord, they got their mercy, complete love and mercy, with all their family members and subordinates. It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. So in the case of Prahlad, he got mercy, and then Bali Maharaj got mercy. Bali Maharaj, of course, got mercy from Lord Vamana. But Hanuman got mercy on his own from Lord Ramachandra. Well, he was a brahmachari, after all. That was described when we were reading about Hanuman. So he had no offspring, no family like that. And when the Lord gave him mercy, he just got mercy on his own. But the Pandavas, they got mercy with so many. Everyone associated with the Pandavas obtained the mercy of Sri Krishna, the all-attractive source of all expansions of Godhead. And 43. Once, and this is quite something. Once in the court of the Kauravas, with me and other sages present, Krishna said of you, a friend of the Pandavas is my friend, and their enemy, my enemy. The Pandavas are my very life heirs. That's profound. That's really, really deep. Yes. So, Krishna spoke this in a very public forum in the presence of all the Kauravas. At one time, the story is basically in very simple terms, that one time Duryodhan offended, was speaking offensively about the Pandavas. He was speaking offensively about the Pandavas, and Lord Krishna became angry. But Duryodhana asked Krishna, I have not said anything offensive about you. I don't want to be offensive towards you, but these Pandavas, I don't like them at all. And then Krishna made that statement. This is described in Mahabharata, where it's stated, Krishna says, he who hates the Pandavas hates me, and he who follows them follows me. Know that I am one in spirit with the righteous Pandavas. And then elsewhere Krishna says, one should not eat the food of one who is hateful, nor should one feed a hateful person. You, O king, means Duryodhana, hate the Pandavas, and the Pandavas are my very life heirs. Sometimes, it's not common, but sometimes it happens, you find a person who ends up hating you for whatever reason, who knows, in some cases it's some crazy reason. But these things happen sometimes. So, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. Even you may try to make peace and some settlement, but you just can't because those people are the way they are. So, therefore, as the Lord states here, that one shouldn't eat food, one shouldn't accept food from a hateful person, and one should not feed a hateful person. Of course, we distribute prasad to everyone, and that's different. That's very different. But in particular for householders, they should be careful about this. And then, verse 44. This is now the last thing which Narada Muni says before Maharaj Yudhisthira starts to respond. And, of course, what does he do? He denies everything. So Narada concludes, just see my arrogance. Only Krishna can adequately know and describe your good qualities. But at least I'm convinced that the Supreme Lord has descended to this world only for the sake of you. So the purport says, it is evident from Krishna's dealings with the Pandavas that Krishna understood their sublime character. No one but Krishna was fully qualified to reciprocate with them. Wow, that's interesting. That from observing how Krishna dealt with the Pandavas, you can see that he understood what amazing characters they had, personalities, what amazing types of people they were. And therefore, no one but Krishna was fully qualified to reciprocate with them. That's interesting, isn't it? Narada, ashamed to have impudently tried to glorify the brothers, apologizes by submitting one fact of which he is certain, Sri Krishna descended to this world only to please the Pandavas and spread their fame. So now, Maharaj Yudhisthira, as we mentioned, he's going to go into the usual program. The usual program is that he says he cannot remember Krishna showing them any mercy. It's not funny, actually. It's not funny at all. It's actually very amazing, very profound, and just so revealing of the exalted natures of these devotees. So this is then from verse 45 to verse 57. Let's just have a look at the purports. 55 to 47, well, the purports are short. Okay, so we can just read through. We don't have to specially read all the verses and then come back and go through everything again. All right, 45. Sri Parikshit said, for a moment, Dharmaraj Yudhisthira remained quiet, and then he sighed as if embarrassed. At last he spoke, followed in turn by his brothers, wife, and mother. Mm. So, yeah. You know, from one point of view, it appears that Yudhisthira is embarrassed because he's been glorified. But it's truer, it's more to the point that he actually feels it's not just embarrassed, but it's exaggerated, it's false, it's just not true. Which is quite different from thinking that one is getting excessive praise. Yeah. He thought it was just not true, and therefore he didn't like sitting through all this, what to him, as far as he was concerned, was more or less like lies and falsehoods. And he thought Narada was teasing him, playing some funny, strange game with him. Yeah. So in either case, Yudhisthira felt sufficiently moved to sigh audibly. Narada heard him sigh. Even in front of his mother and younger brothers. 46. Yudhisthira said, O crest jewel of brilliant speakers, Lord Hari has no mercy for us. We cannot remember any mercy he has shown us, even after we consider this for a long time. Yeah. So the thing is, he says, oh, crest jewel of brilliant speakers. By calling Narada an eloquent speaker, Yudhisthira subtly accused him of distorting the truth. Yes. You know, someone who's an expert speaker can talk about someone or some situation very easily in such ways that a simple-minded audience will think that this person or whatever it is really something amazing, when actually they're not. But that's the ability of a very clever speaker. So Yudhisthira is saying to Narada Muni that you're like that. So in Yudhisthira's opinion, proof that Krishna blessed him and his brothers with special favor cannot be found. 47. If ordinary materialists see the many calamities that have come upon us, their faith and their inclination to serve Krishna are likely to wither. Phew. Yes. So, well, of course we know that the Pandavas went through a very hard time. First of all, they were abused by Dhritarashtra, or particularly his sons. Bhima was served poison cake. They were placed in a house of lack, which was then at night set on fire. And in different ways, there are a number of incidents in which they had a really difficult time, and then they were exiled. What can you say? And they had to live under the trees, you know, with literally nothing. So your average person who has some interest in religion to some degree, their idea will generally be that, yes, we are religious because we want to get mercy from the Lord. We want to get things from the Lord. They consider getting things from the Lord to be mercy. But the Pandavas didn't get things from the Lord. The Pandavas got a hard time, one after another, difficulties, and then finally exiled. So therefore, from that type of point of view, it would appear they got no mercy at all. In fact, it was quite the opposite. They got really hard times. So, yes, and there's a story, I don't know if it's going to be mentioned here, I suspect not, but there's a story I've heard that Maharaj Yudhisthira one time approached Lord Krishna in Hastinapur and said, "My Lord, I want lots of money. Please give me lots of money, really lots." And Krishna said, "What, really? Are you sure? You know, I thought all you wanted is pure devotional service." But Yudhisthira said, no, must be lots of money, really lots of money, please." And then Yudhisthira said, "And I want a vast palace, I want many palaces. I want many palaces and extremely opulent with many servants and everything." And Krishna was really disappointed. Krishna said, "Really? I thought all you wanted to do was serve me." But Yudhisthira said, no, I want as much as possible of all these types of things." And Krishna was very disappointed. But then Maharaj Yudhisthira explained to Krishna that, "You know, I've heard many times people say they're afraid of becoming your devotees because they think you're going to take everything away. So I want to have everything, money, palaces, followers, servants, I want everything. So that these types of people will see, here is a devotee of Krishna who has everything. Therefore, we can become devotees of Krishna also. And we'll be fine." Yes. So, but otherwise, they had a hard time. 49. "Therefore, on the pretext of arranging a sacrifice, I begged him, 'Dear Master, please show how the fortunes of the devotees and the non-devotees differ.'" So, here it said, that Yudhisthira didn't undertake the demanding Rajasuya Yajna for the power and fame it would earn him. He and his brothers were untouched by material motives. He wanted only to help the world better understand the glories of Krishna and his devotees. Therefore he said, "Therefore, O Lord of Lords, let the people of this world see the power of devotional service rendered to your lotus feet. Show them, O Almighty One, the position of those Kurus and Srinjayas who worship you, and the position of those who do not. Verses 50 and 51. By this sacrifice, all people will see the wonderful assets that belong to your devotees in this life and the next. Opulence is all pure and utterly distinct from material assets. Then, gaining absolute trust in you, people will worship your lotus feet, become ever free of misery and fear, and achieve happiness in all respects. Yes. So that the point there is, it's about the Rajasuya, which Yudhisthira did, with the Pandavas, of course, but it was particularly for Yudhisthira. And he wanted to do it. Normally people do Rajasuya sacrifices in order to get great wealth and power. But Yudhisthira wanted to do it, and he wanted to do it so that people would become inclined to worship Krishna. Just see how your devotees are. We must be devotees too. This sort of idea. Yeah. So it says here, everyone could see that the extraordinary wealth and power of the Pandavas was untainted by material faults, because that wealth and power was intended only for the service of Krishna. So Yudhisthira continues explaining why they didn't. Anyway, he continues. Now our non-devotee enemies have been destroyed, our kingdom returned to us, and our grief made greater than ever before. Let me just read the purport here. After the Rajasuya sacrifice and the Kurukshetra war, Jarasandha, Shishupal, Duryodhana, and their allies were all dead. But in fact, their existence had been annihilated in an even fuller sense, because they were never to take birth again. And although the Pandavas, after long years of suppression, were free to rule, in Yudhisthira's opinion, they had been happier when struggling against one threat of destruction after another. 53. It is our fault that many saintly persons met their demise, including venerable teachers like Drona and Bhishma, and sons like Abhimanyu. So purport says, this is why gaining the kingdom brought no happiness to the Pandavas. Most of their noble relatives, many of them saintly devotees of Krishna, had been killed in the conflict for sovereignty. Yudhisthira blamed himself for these deaths, since the war had been fought to install him on the throne. The company of those devotees, so this is verse 54. The company of those devotees of Sri Vishnu is more desirable to us then life itself, deprived of that association, we can no longer find any happiness. 55. We enjoy the pleasure of seeing Sri Krishna's lotus face only once in a while, when after long times absent, he visits us on some business. Yeah. So the thing is that Krishna, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he hardly returned to Hastinapur. Few times only. As when, for example, when Yudhisthira wanted to do an Ashwamedha sacrifice, or sacrifices some. But these visits were very short, and too short for the Pandavas to really relish his association the ways that they wanted to. 56. Aha. Now you remember the story, right? You remember the idea that each person, each devotee, after Narada has glorified them, and then they have denied everything, what happens? Then they start talking about some other devotee who, according to them, did really get the mercy. So now Yudhisthira is going to start with that. The Yadavas alone are his true friends. Living always with them in Dwarka, he is always busy satisfying those dear and supremely fortunate friends. Yes. So Narada might suggest that, you know, after a little while, Krishna will come, he's busy now, but when he's finished doing whatever, then he'll come. But Maharaj Yudhisthira says no. He just stays with the Yadavas. They're really dear to me. We're not so dear because, he doesn't stay with us. He's not staying with us. He hardly stays with us. But he's always with the Yadavas in Dwarka. So they're the ones. Yes. So, and also, he considers that the Yadavas have a higher level of love for Krishna. Because he says, Krishna's always busy satisfying those dear and supremely fortunate friends. Okay, 57 is the end of this section, this verse now. From time to time, Yudhisthira says, from time to time, you have observed him carrying messages, driving chariots, and doing other services for us. But he does these things only to absolve himself of his debts to us, to destroy our sins, and protect our religious principles. Yes. Not because he has any preferential feelings towards the Pandavas. Okay, so now there's a change of section from verse 58. Well, it's just verse 58 and 59. is now Bhima denying that Krishna's given mercy. 58 and 59. Then from verse 60 to verse 74, Arjuna denies that Krishna is merciful to them. Okay, so let's have a look. 58 to 59, it's Bhima. Sri Parikshit continued, then Bhima, the bosom friend of the Lord of the Yadavas, laughed loudly and said, please listen, my dear disciple of Sri Krishna. Bosom friend is a special English sort of idiom, means super dear friend. Yes. So Bhima was so intimate with Krishna that Bhima could pretend to discern in Narada's character the faults that Narada had acquired by association with Krishna. Yes. For example, that Krishna juggles words sometimes, and now Narada's juggling words in different ways, saying that the Pandavas have received so much mercy, which is really not true. So he's learnt this from Krishna, how to juggle words and sort of expertly lie. Okay. That was 58. 59. Krishna is the original source of illusion, is Bhima continuing. The guru of all clever deceivers. His acts are fathomless like an ocean. We have little faith in the many crafty things he says and does. Doesn't he have all sorts of motives? Sure. That's heavy, actually. That's pretty heavy. Yeah. So, in other words, Krishna is too unpredictable and deceptive to trust. And you never really know what's going on with him because he's so deep. Sometimes Krishna acts just for his personal enjoyment. Sometimes he manufactures illusions out of mere curiosity. And sometimes he uses his wit to intentionally bewilder his devotees. And whatever it is, in any case, his motive is never one of simple affection. Yes. And Bhima's saying, we've seen it so much. You can't tell us anything. We know how Krishna works. So yes, then as we said from verse 60 to 74, Arjuna denies that Krishna has ever been merciful to them. Sri Parikshit said, then, dear mother, my grandfather Sriman Arjuna, the intimate friend of Krishna, dejectedly spoke, sighing again and again. So, you know, as we read, Bhima was the, in Sanskrit, the term that was used was Narumasaka, which was translated as bosom friend, means very, very close friend. But here in the verse, Arjuna is described as Prana Saka, or in English, the intimate friend. Which means Krishna and Arjuna were dearer to one another than life. That's amazing. Arjuna was glorious, blessed by the goddess of fortune because of his intimate friendship with Krishna. And according to what's stated here, Arjuna's feelings in separation, that it was painful for Arjuna to think about his dear friend Krishna, who he now very rarely sees. 61. Blessed Arjuna said, well, Arjuna here is addressed as Sri Bhagavan Arjuna. Sri Bhagavan Arjuna Uvacha. Blessed Arjuna said, O godly Narada, the great mercy your beloved Lord supposedly bestowed upon us has, in fact, become the cause of our sorrow. Yes. So, Arjuna's relationship, as we mentioned, Arjuna's relationship, I mean, as the book says, is more intimate than Bhima's. And whereas Bhima sort of accused Krishna of being, apparently being kind as a pretense, just putting on an act, putting on different acts at different times which serve his aims and are not really for the Pandavas' benefit. So, in other words, you know, Krishna's apparent affection is unreal. But Arjuna, because of his more intimate relationship, is forced to acknowledge that actually Krishna was kind to us. He was kind to us. So, yeah, his affection was real. And therefore, because Krishna's affection was real, when he drove the chariot of Arjuna and did various other things for Arjuna, it was sincere. Krishna was being sincere. But still, even though that was the case, the end results of all of that were just contrary. They were not really auspicious. Yeah, okay. So I think we'll finish here and we will carry on with verses 62 and 63 tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami ki jai.